بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي عليه وعلى رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq of continuing our majlis that we have on a Monday evening. May Allah Ta'ala make it a means of hidayat for all of us. May Allah Ta'ala make it a means of us coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cleansing and purifying our hearts and becoming the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our najat in the akhirat. The maqsad of sitting and listening to any discourse of deen, our intention must be firstly to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have no other motive, no other intention but the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then to increase our knowledge of deen. If we come with the niyat, as we mentioned previously, that we are seeking the knowledge of deen, Quran, hadith, that is being explained to us, then inshallah we'll get the fazilat of also that person who comes out of his home and to seek the knowledge of deen, فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, he is regarded to be in the path of Allah. So we get that reward as well. Then the intention should be made to make amal whatever we say. This morning we were discussing with some of our friends, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentioned that qal must become hal. Whatever we are saying, whatever we are hearing, Quran, hadith, sunnah, different majlises, discourses, lectures, bayans, these are all qal. Qal in Arabic means to say. So whatever is spoken, these are all spoken words, this must become hal. This must become the spiritual condition of the heart. Ulama mentioned, from nuqush, what is in writing, what we are reading, what is in Quran, hadith, is all nuqush. So that must come into the nufus, into the hearts. So hal, this is what we are trying to get now. Our spiritual condition, our attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It mustn't just end off in qal, we heard, and there's the end of it, and we're not making amal on it. So we make amal on it, and also we pass it on to others. Provided we pass it on to others correctly. We go home, explain the same thing to our wives, our children, to our friends. There may be something that has inspired us. Something may change our life, something that's beneficial. And we pass it on to others solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we are making tabligh also of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshallah we will find our homes, the environment changing. Our workplaces, our masjid, our madrasas. Our entire life will find some type of enjoyment. Otherwise, we don't get this enjoyment. Our lives seem very dry. We're missing out on something. And that is the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that connection is not difficult to get, provided we make up our minds. We make up our minds that whatever we are listening, inshallah, we must bring this into amal. And everything doesn't happen overnight. Many people try to come into this path of suluk and they expect to see results overnight. It takes a long time. It takes a very long time. Allah Ta'ala decides how much to give and who to give and what to give. So whilst we are trying to improve our various ibadat, our mu'amalat, our dealings with people, our akhlaq, our character, also our ma'amulat, the daily prescribed practices that we have been given, our surahs, our du'as, and whilst we are perfecting our salat, all this requires much effort. Person can't make 1 or 2 days effort and expect now to see excellent results, that now we became an Allah wala, or I became the bandi of Allah or the banda of Allah, and now I'm not seeing that. No. Don't get lose hope. Never lose hope. It may seem that the road ahead is very, very far. It's very long. The distance is very long. But remember the verse of the ayat of the Quran, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Allah says, this jannah that we are aspiring, Allah says, we will make it easy for the person. وَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَ We will make it easy. When Allah has created Jannat, Allah has created this dunya, Allah has created this path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, Allah has created you and I, Allah has put us onto, Allah has given us tawfiq, Allah has given us iman, we are trying now. So even though we are crawling, but inshallah we will reach our destination. So never lose hope. Otherwise shaitan will come in different forms and different whisperings and insinuations, and he'll make the deen of Allah Ta'ala and the sharia to be very difficult to practice upon. Very difficult. It is very easy, very simple. We are not expected to learn every single masnoon dua. We are not expected to do so many difficult, so much of rakats of nafil. No. Whatever is within our capability. Everybody has been given by Allah Ta'ala a certain isti'adad, an ability. Of course, fara'id, we all have to accomplish. What is farz, what is wajib, all of us have to do. As far as other things are concerned, nawafil, somebody might be able to endure long, long rakats of tahajjud salat. Somebody like ourselves, or like myself, weak, may not be able to wake up and read so long rakats. We might read Isha namaz. So different people have been given different capabilities, but it doesn't mean now we must just make no way, I'm only got this capacity, I'm very weak, so I won't try. We will try. Like in school, different pupils have different levels, different intellectual levels. Brains are different. Every person is not the same. But the teacher will ask all the pupils to work hard. And you'll find a weak person who was a failure, even though in the end, he did not come out first, or get 100 out of 100, but he has passed, and from where he was to where he now landed, you see, it is a great progress he has made. And he is applauded. Teacher says, MashaAllah, very good. Previously he was failing. Now he's at least getting over 50 and 60. He may not get 100, may not get 90. But there is great improvement found in his life. Now for this we must make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, what was my condition before? Ya Allah, only you give me the tawfiq. Ya Allah, I still got to go so much more I have to do. Ya Allah, only through your tawfiq, you will make me reach my manzil. And that is you, Allah. People who are drunkards, overnight they became the friends of Allah. So that can also happen. But the general pattern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wants from us, sa'i. Sa'i means an effort. We have to endeavor, we have to try. So inshallah, we all have to try and never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we have to remind ourselves all the time. The programs that we have just Monday, Thursday, or sometimes we have some other days, it is just to remind ourselves. A mu'min has to remind himself every single day. Dhikrullah doesn't take only place once a week on a Thursday, or we don't only listen to a bayan on a Friday. Every single day we have to sit, read Quran, sit, listen to some discourse of deen, be in the company of the good, the pious. And these are the only things will save us, especially in these evil times of fitna and fasad. Especially our youngsters. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. The ayat that I quoted, alhamdulillah, we have heard different mashayikh speaking on this ayat. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالْ وَلَا بَنُونَ On that day, Allah Ta'ala talks about the day of Qiyamah. La yanfa'u malu wala banun. A person's wealth. No amount of wealth, no children will avail the person, will help the person, will benefit the person in the day of Qiyamah. We have previously mentioned the horrifying conditions of Qiyamah. A person is running away, actually fleeing, escaping from his own parents, his own wife and children, his own brother, his own family members. The word Allah Ta'ala uses in the Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ A person runs, he escapes, firar has been used. He's running away from his own mother, his own father. A person who is a loyal, obedient child, will he ever abandon his parents when they are in need? Never, impossible. He says, no, maaf, that's my mother, my father. That's my wife, my children. But on the day of Qiyamah, the whole condition will be such that every single person, Every person will be concerned about himself, besides our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everybody will say, Nafsi, Nafsi. Our Rasulullah will say, Ummati, Ummati. The point here is that every person, the condition of Qiyamah will be such that now what is going to happen? I have to give jawab to my Allah. How am I going to answer for all the deeds I had and all the wrongs I did? So, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٍ. It's not that a person can bring all the money that he had in this world and all the khazana and treasures he had and present it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you can ransom me now. Take this and save me from the fire of Jahannam. He may have a huge family. He's got a lot of sons, plenty of sons, children. He cannot say, Allah, I've got my sons. So now you can save me from the fire of Jahannam. Nothing will help him. The strength of his material possessions, and even his family, his children, his sons especially, they will not avail him on the day of Qiyamah. They will not help him at all. Illa Allah says, besides, man, that person, atallaha biqalbin saleem, who brings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a pure heart. Qalbun saleem. A pure heart. A heart that is sound. Ulama have mentioned, what is qalbi saleem? That heart which is free from shirk. Free from kufr. There is no kufr in the heart. Person believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no shirk. He doesn't associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no hiqt. There is no malice in his heart. There is no hasad in his heart. There is no jealousy in his heart. There is no nifaq and hypocrisy in his heart. Then such a person who comes with a pure heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is saved from the horrifying conditions of Qiyamah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, and this hadith we have heard now, thousands of times without exaggeration. Ala inna fil jasadi mudghatan idha saluhat saluhal jasadu kulluh wa idha fasadat fasadal jasadu kulluh ala wa hiya al qalb. That there is a piece of flesh in every human body. If this becomes correct, then the entire body becomes correct. If this becomes corrupt, fasid, bad, the entire body goes corrupt. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us and warned us that one should be concerned or concern himself with purifying his heart. Once the heart is pure, a person's life changes. His thinking changes. His looking changes. His eating habit changes. His dealing with people changes. His character changes. Because the heart is now pure. Like some person had mentioned, there are those whose heart, whose spiritual heart, is making tawaf or is going around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They only talk about Allah. They only see Allah. They only want to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the true lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are, so that is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The others, their hearts always roam around filthy things. Indecent, immoral things. Zina, riba, cheating, lying, ghibat, causing harm to people, oppressing people. So all the time, their heart, spiritual heart, is going around filth, qadurat, gandagi. Allah has given us the opportunity to choose a pure life. And when this pure life comes into our lives, and this type of pure heart, then we find exactly like how Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in began to enjoy the ibadat. And they were able to refrain from all type of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It became easy for a person. When a person is involved in filth all the time, he's seeing filth, hearing filth, eating filth, touching filth, walking towards filth, his whole environment is filthy, then he will always be doing filthy actions. And the moment if he gets some tawfiq, and this happens also, Allah gives a person hidayat, slight change. How was it, Ali Billah rahmatullahi alayhi, one degree, his needle just moves towards the right. If slightly he comes, and he comes into some good company, immediately you find he wants to make tawbah, istighfar. You see nadamat on him. How many of a youngster especially has come and said, we regret what we did, terrible things we did, we want to change our lives. So if the person is sincere and he listens to whatever is being prescribed to him, then inshallah he moves now in a more positive way. But if he just for temporary and then he goes back again, then sometimes he goes even more worse. Allah Ta'ala save us. All of us require this admonishment. And all of us have to remind ourselves that we've got in our bodies this piece of flesh. And this piece of flesh has to come right. Great effort has to be made on this heart, the spiritual heart. Like how a person, if there's some ailment, he's got some wound on his body, he's got some injury, he's got some sore, immediately he'll go to the doctor and he'll check it out and get some remedy, some cure. Small cut. What happened? My finger got cut. Looking for some bandage, elastoplast, I want to see it. I need to put some ointment. But when the spiritual heart is scarred, is wounded, then we don't even worry about it. Nobody bothers. When the spiritual heart becomes sick, then we don't run to the spiritual doctor to make ilaj of it. Physical body, little bit change in temperature, hey, I'm feeling very sick, feeling very fluish, I need to see the doctor. My throat is sore, my ears are paining, getting a headache. So immediately we go to the doctor to check our physical self up. But the spiritual heart, how many of us really even bother about it? How many of us have our nazar, our glance on the spiritual heart? And see, how is the spiritual heart developing? What type of connection has my heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you peeped into our spiritual heart any time? And surveyed our heart and seen how much of love of Allah ta'ala do we have in that heart? How much of love of Rasulullah do we have in that heart? What is our heart always containing? What type of thoughts are being entertained in our hearts? Therefore we have to have these type of majlises, not for the audience, for the speaker mainly. Remember in this time, in this zamana, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they used to say at that time, over 1430 plus years ago, اجلس بنا نؤمن ساعة نذكر الله فنزداد إيمان. Let us sit a little while and we talk about the greatness of Allah, we'll increase our iman. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. So imagine us, what our condition is. How much more we have to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much more we have to remind ourselves that I have gotten a journey that I have treaded on. I have begun. I got to complete this journey in the best of ways possible. We talk about love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't we get offended when people they talk bad of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They make blasphemous statements and pictures and cartoons. Don't we feel the pain? Any mu'min will feel the pain. But how much of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do we have in our hearts? Let us be honest, how much of Durood Sharif do we recite upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If we didn't have that 40 Durood Kitab, Allah knows how much of Durood we should have been reading. How much of Ishq and Muhabbat do we have for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Let us be honest, how often have we spoken to our children at home on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sirat, his life? Days will go by. We haven't even spoken about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to our family. The name hasn't even been mentioned. Sahaba, nothing. But the news of the world and the happenings of the world, the events of the world, the sports event, this court, who won this cricket match and who's playing and who's... That is, has become the main theme on our tables, supper. We are going to some walima, some function. Allah forbid, even in dini gatherings, person takes out his cell phone, sees the score. Hey, this guy's lost, man. See our fikr, what has our dhok and shok all become? All this is the result because our hearts are not becoming pure. They're becoming impure. And therefore Allah has given us a chance. Never lose hope. Let us purify our hearts. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah used to make in the dua, Ya Allah, hamari dilo ko musaffa, mujalla, muzakka bana. Ya Allah, purify, cleanse, brighten our hearts. Brighten our hearts. And this is the effort we have to make on our batin. that this piece of flesh we have to purify this heart. And how do you purify it? By removing all the filth from the heart, making dhikrullah, talking about Allah Ta'ala's greatness, realizing that who we are, what is our purpose in this world, and we're moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Our mashayikh have said, there's a verse of the Quran, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِ. Allah has not made for a single man, for any person, two hearts in his body. We have one body and we have one heart. Allah hasn't given us two hearts. That one heart, all right, you can think of Allah, and the other heart, you can think of every other beloved of this world. One heart, you just keep healthy, and the other heart, you can keep it filthy. No. We've got this one heart only. And this heart is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This heart is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the mashayikh mentioned one of the tafsirs, that الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِهِ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. Who is that person who has got qalbi salim? Who has it? Rahmatullah Izzat Hakim Sahab. Rahmatullah should give the tafsir of qalbi salim. And he should mention this last, the fifth one. الَّذِي لَا يَكُونُ فِي قَلْبِهِ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. That person in whose heart there is no ghayrullah. In other words, the person who's got a pure heart is the one who has in his heart only Allah. There isn't anybody besides Allah. He's got in his heart love for Allah and for whom Allah has made it compulsory to love. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wife, children, you're going to love them. If you don't love your wife, you don't love your children, how are you going to provide for them? How are you going to live with them? Love for the wife and love for the children within the limits of Sharia. Listen very carefully. Love for the wife, love for the children, love for the parents, etc. All these are jais, love that we should have, but they are limitations. These should not exceed the love that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah has mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who have iman, they are more intense, they have got more severe love for Allah. They've got love for wife and children, but the love for Allah is far more greater. So those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to love, you got to love your parents. Allah has commanded you to love your parents. You love your ustad, your mashayikh, your brothers, your sisters. These are all loves that Allah has commanded you to have. Yes, illicit relationships, love of dunya and love of haram things, that is all ghayrullah. And those are the things you got to remove from the heart. So Allah has kept one heart for each person. Not two hearts, that one heart we can think of, keep good things in that heart, and the other one all evil things. So two hearts cannot coexist within the same body, in such a manner that one heart is dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is dedicated to shaitan. There is only one heart, that can only be devoted to Allah, there is only one heart, that can only be devoted to one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, our effort, our focus should be, that Allah ta'ala must come into our hearts. So that pure heart, يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم, a sound heart is that heart which is purified of all thoughts and influences other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a heart shall prove useful on the day of Qiyamah. علماء مشايخ given in the tafsir, الذي ينفق ماله في البر, that those people who spend their wealth in good, jais, halal causes, feeding the poor, the orphan, the widows, the yatim, the weak, feeding the family, in all good causes, a person spends his wealth. So see the relationship with the verse, يُمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَال. Wealth will not avail you. Wealth will not help you, except if you have a pure heart. And in this tafsir, that means a person who is spending halal money in halal causes for the sake of Allah, in good causes for the sake of Allah, then he is regarded also to be amongst those who have a pure heart. And as I mentioned in the beginning, if a person's heart is impure, then he will not do all these good things. He will not get the tawfiq of doing good amal. So when a person is spending halal money in halal causes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for show, not for name and fame, He's genuinely spinning, he's giving a sadaqah to the poor, he's got feelings for the poor, he's got the compassion for the needy, he's got fikr for the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is a sign, ulama say, that this person has got a pure heart. Of course, there's more to it also. Alladhi yurshidu banihi ilal haqq. And the second thing ulama mentioned, that that person who guides his children towards the right way, the right path. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahab Damat Barakatuhum had mentioned, when our children, small children as they're growing, little toddlers, and if you make the son wear kurta and topi, and make the daughter wear a scarf, people start saying, oh, you're making them from so small like a big buzrug, or making them look like one Maulana from now, or an apa from now. Let them enjoy themselves. He said, but we make them wear jeans, and make them wear all Western clothing. What people say, hey, looking so pretty, mashallah, so nice. We praise the child. This is a sign again. We are not making irshad of our children towards haqq. Then later on when we have a problem, the son is gone off. He's not taken sirat mustaqim. He's deviated. Now we run for ta'wiz by the Maulana, we ask for dua, son is taking drugs, he's involved with a woman, and this is happening, and he's not growing a beard, and he's drinking. You see? When the tree and the plant is growing, then many times you find a stick, a very straight stick attached to it, so that the plant grows upright into a beautiful upright tree that will bear good fruit. Otherwise, if the tree is going to bend from the beginning, it will always remain in that position. So we don't expect to rectify and admonish our children when they're almost getting married, when they're teenagers. It is too late. From the very inception of the child, from the beginning, our mashayikh and elders, when you hear their stories, that the child isn't even in the womb of the mother. Mother is already making dhikrullah, tilawat of the Quran. When she falls pregnant, she's always engaged in good amal. Taaleem is taking place. She sits in the halqa of ta'aleem. She makes ta'aleem at home. She is engaging tilawat of the Quran. She makes the dhikr of Allah. She recites the Durood Sharif. Allah's qasam, you will find that that child will become a pious child. Why? The effects of that mother, of course, the father as well. The effects of the child is coming from where? From the mother's tarbiyat. Mother is doing good things. If the mother is listening to music and sitting and watching the shaitan box, and gossiping in ghibat the whole day, and wandering all the malls in town, then you see that will be the effect on the child. So therefore, الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ يُمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Your children won't avail you. Won't come to any assistance on the day of Qiyamah. They won't save you from the fire of Jahannam. No matter what degree they may come with, no matter what wealth they may come with, no matter what things they may bring and present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing. Yes, you made your child a hafiz of the Quran. Then the hadith of Rasulullah says that good hafiz, of course, who made amal on his Quran, then 10 people upon whom Jahannam was wajib from his family, 10 people who were doomed, destined for Jahannam, Jahannam was wajib upon them. Then this child is hafiz of the Quran, gets the chance and opportunity to intercede on such 10 persons of his family and remove them from the fire of Jahannam. الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. Like that, a person who is an alim, or a person who has become deendar. So we should try and have this pure heart. How? By guiding our children towards haqq, towards truth, towards Quran, towards sunnah, towards neki, towards good deeds, towards good company. What we do from the time the child is small, we do madrasa. We instill such fear in the heart of the child for that apa and that malana, lifelong that he has a fear, and therefore you find there's a gap between the youngster and that alim, or the girl and the apa. Why? Because they've got a fear. Mother says, I'll tell your malana about you. Poor malana, he's got such a bad name. The child is small, and even the child grows big also. No, make them love the ulama. Make them love the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make every effort to guide your child towards haqq. الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. إِلَى الَّذِي لَا يَكُنُ فِي قَلْبِهِ الْأَقَائِدُ الْبَاطِلَةِ. Aqeedah. We must have the right beliefs. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His angels, His kitabs, His rasuls, the day of qiyamah, taqdeer. The correct beliefs we should have. When our aqidah is not correct, we don't know aqidah well, then we find different types of people coming with different type of aqaid and belief and different type of ideologies, and they pollute our minds. And because we're not strong in our aqidah, we get drifted very easily. May Allah Ta'ala save us. So a person who's got a qalbi salim is one whose aqidah is firm. He's got the correct aqidah. His aqidah is one of haqq, not of batil. He has the correct aqidah in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He has the correct aqidah in all the sahaba ikram. He loves every sahabi. He won't come with that warped aqidah and that batil aqidah and see the sahaba all turn renegade besides two or three. Astaghfirullah. But if his aqidah is correct, he'll love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll have the correct beliefs in Allah, the kitabs of Allah, the angels of Allah, the jannat and jahannam are prepared, they exist. They're not something imaginary. He'll believe on mizan, the day of qiyamah, there is a pul sirat, a bridge he has to cross, there'll be the wing of amal. All these things are related to aqidah. The people who don't believe in an existence of jannat and jahannam, you see, some type of phase, some type of feeling a person will get of bliss and happiness, or some terrible feeling of the heart. No. Quran talks about U'iddat lil muttaqeen. Jannat has been prepared. There's numerous ahadith. Jannat has been decorated. It has been prepared. Ma la aynun ru'at, wa la udhunun sami'at, wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. No eyes have seen, no ears have heard of, and even the thought hasn't crossed the mind. Allah has made this Jannat so beautiful. Likewise, Jahannam. U'iddat lil kafireen. It has been prepared already. It has been kindled already. So the correct aqidah brings this qalbi salim. May Allah bless us with this qalbi salim. Then, الَّذِي لَا يَكُنُ فِي قَلْبِهِ غَلَبَةُ الشَّهَوَاتِ الَّتِي تُعَدِّي إِلَى النَّارِ. A person, we all have some inclinations, some passion, some desire. We are human beings. But there mustn't be a ghalaba of it. This shahwat that a person has, his passion, his desires, should not be dominant and overpower him. Like we hear in the Ashar, nafs aur shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya mujhko taba. We have nafs, we have shaitan, he's our enemy, and we have nafs. Now what nafs you're talking about? When there is the shahwat pulling us, allati tu'addi ila nar, pulling us towards Jahannam. There mustn't be this type of ghalaba of shahwat with this passions has become dominant in our heart. Our heart has been covered with these type of evil tendencies and take us towards zina and haram. No. A person who doesn't have this type of shahwat or ghalaba of shahwat, then he's got a qalbi salim. His heart is pure. His heart is spark. His heart is clean. And of course we discuss the fifth one, where he doesn't have ghairullah in his heart. Ulama, I've mentioned so much more about qalbi salim. And they explained about this heart is like the earth that has to be tilted. The earth, the soil has to be tilted in order to be cultivated and yield a good harvest. If the ground is not cultivated in such a manner for a long time, it becomes hard, it becomes barren, unable to yield a crop because it was left unattended for a very long period. Exactly like that is the heart. The same holds true for the heart. One grows closer to Allah Ta'ala, and that one grows closer to Allah Ta'ala, and the harder one works to rectify this heart, like how the soil has to be tilled, it has to be to cultivate it. Person has to make a lot of effort. Great effort, mujahada is made on this heart, and then this heart becomes softened. It doesn't become hard. Becomes softened. When the heart becomes softened, then a person's akhlaq changes. Previously, he should get angry very quickly. Now, when effort is made on this hard heart, this heart now, person, he was like a lion before, abusing his wife and children. Suddenly, he now become like a Sufi. Become so timid. I can't believe it's him. Even the path of Allah, he came back from 4 months, and he's gone so soft. He went to the Khanka and spent some time. His heart is gone so soft. He cries very easily now. When he's making tawbah, istighfar, dua, he cries very easily. Why? Because effort was made on this hard heart. So now it becomes soft. He'll find himself having raham for people. Before the debtors, or the creditors, sorry, he should give them a hard time. Now, he's paying on time. And if people owe him money, then he is kind. He has that type of heart now where he is filled with compassion, and he gives the person respite, more chance to pay. So the whole zindagi of this person has changed. Why? Effort was made on this heart of his, which had become very hard. Now he has softened his heart. But the longer we take to make this mujahada, the harder the heart becomes, the greater the effort is required, and what happens? We become frustrated. Like I mentioned previously, we want instant results. Everything is instant now. Tea, instant, coffee, instant, everything, microwave. We're living in that zamana. We do 1-2 rakat namaz, we want to see, why we're flying in the sky. Many people, although we explain kafiyat so many times, that kafiyat is not something matloob. It's not, we're making dhikr, and we must feel some nice feeling. No, this is not found, this is not matloob in Sharia, not required. It might happen, might not happen. Many times, most of the time, it never happens. Now, we want to see ourselves floating in the air. Spiritually, we see ourselves experiencing some type of ecstasy. And we're not getting this, then we become frustrated. So again, the greater or the more time or that we leave the heart unattended, the more harder it becomes, and now the greater the effort. Now you need big injections from the doctor. Heavy injections. And our nafs cannot take it. So what happens after some time? Phew, very difficult all this. I'd rather go back to my old habits. This is again from Shaitan. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah purify our hearts. May Allah soften our hearts. Allah Ta'ala talks about hard hearts in the Quran. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَصْوَ. Surah Baqarah. Allah says, then their hearts, thenceforth were your hearts hardened. They became like a rock, and even worse in hardness. Allah says, but you know, if you look at rocks, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. If you look at rocks, you'll find that they are rocks from which rivers gush forth. As hard as they are, but rivers are gushing forth from it. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. And there are some rocks that split asunder and water comes forth from there. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَغْبِتُ. And you find huge rocks also falling, sinking. مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the condition of hard rocks. Allah spoke about ثُمَّ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. That your hearts after that became hard. Oh, Mashayikh say, in fact, stones feel ashamed at the hard-heartedness of man. Stones can still become a source of streams, rivers. Stones also tremble under the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, when a man's heart hardens, it neither weeps nor trembles in fear of his Allah is greater. Man's only hope of success on the day of judgment is to toil hard to rectify his heart, or else he will be doomed. In one verse which we recite all the time, many times in Qiraat, وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلْ. If this Qur'an is park, if Allah says, if we are to reveal it on a mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. This whole mountain will tremble. It will go into smitherings. It will split asunder into small pieces. مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When rocks have that fear of Allah, from rocks we see rivers and springs gushing forth. And our hearts, what is the condition? Have become so hard that we have no mercy on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't even shed a tear. No tear comes out of the khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No fear. How a heart becomes blind, Allah ta'ala talks in the Quran, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The physical eyes are not blind. It's the eyes, the spiritual eyes of the heart that becomes blind. A person's heart becomes completely blind when he lives his life in utter ghaflat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that his heart becomes unable to distinguish between lawful and unlawful. In the month of Ramadan, I think we discussed that the heart becomes inverted. Ulama, mashayikh have mentioned naqsul qalb in Arabic. The heart becomes, the spiritual heart becomes inverted. So instead of regarding haqq to be haqq, we take haqq to be batil, and batil, falsehood, we take that to be haqq. What is correct, we treat that to be incorrect, and what is incorrect for us is correct. What Allah and Shariat has said, that is batil, we regard that to be haqq. And therefore, Rasulullah told us the dua, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa. Allah, show us haqq to be true, to be haqq. And give us the tawfiq, warzuqna tiba'ah, of following haqq. Not just to see haqq to be haqq and just keep quiet. We know this is right. Many of us, you know, I know it's right. I know this is namaz important. But are you reading the namaz? No. Why? There is no tawfiq of ittiba' of haqq. So two things. One is, our spiritual heart must not become blind. It must be able to perceive and see what is true to be haqq, and then we will get tawfiq of following it. Wa arina al-batila batila, wallah, show us falsehood to be falsehood. Warzuqna ijtinaba, wallah, bless us or give us the ability to abstain from it, to refrain from it. We know that's wrong. I know music is haram. I know looking at that pornographic material is haram, but I'm not abstaining from it. So therefore, haqq has to be shown haqq to us, and we have to follow it. Batil has to be shown that is batil to us, and we have to refrain from it. When this is not the case, that means our spiritual heart has become blind. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So a person can't distinguish between right and wrong. Halal, haram, for him, it's okay, man. We said Bismillah and eat. A person not even bothered. Is it halal? Is it haram? Can I consume this meat? Can I consume this? Is it permissible for us? Can we do this? Are we allowed by Shariat? No, no fikr, no concern, no worry. A person cannot distinguish when a person is blind, physically blind, then he can't distinguish between light and darkness. Everything is dark for him. He can't distinguish between a friend and an enemy. He can't differentiate between many things. Why? Because he's physically blind. In the same way, a person whose heart is blind, we commit a grave sin. We see this, Allah protect us, Allah protect us. Person commits a grave sin, a major sin. But his heart will not even flinch because it has become blind to right and wrong. Such a person also cannot differentiate between light and darkness. And he prefers, as I mentioned in the beginning, he prefers the company of evil to that of righteousness. He'll be just pulled towards evil company, whining and dining, womanizing. You won't find the person coming to in the suhbat of salihin, pious people, reciting Quran, durood, istighfar, tahajjud, nafil, sadaqat. No, he'll be pulled towards evil, evil company all the time. Being blind, the heart has also lost all respect and recognition of righteous people. And we find people will attack and condemn the salihin, the ulama, the pious people. Why? Because those people's heart has become blind. When your eyes, when your spiritual heart has become blind, now you will want to criticize those people on haqq. Look at the lives of Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. Who were the enemies? Who were the opponents? People whose heart was blind. But those people who Allah Ta'ala blessed them with light and noor, they became ardent followers, staunch supporters. They became the true ummatis of those people, of those Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. They were prepared to give their lives for that Nabi. Battle of Uhud. The arrows are coming towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu stands up and he puts his face in front of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. That, Ya Rasulullah, my neck, my face must protect yours. And Rasulullah was trying to see what's happening. But Abu Talha al-Ansari could not bear a single arrow hurting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba were prepared to give their lives for the sake of Rasulullah. Why? Their hearts became illuminated. Noor came into the heart. And therefore, They were no more blind like in the time of Jahiliyyah, ignorant days. The Holy Quran refers to entire communities as blind. Not because the people were physically blind, they didn't have any sight, but because they failed to recognize the Nabi that was sent to them. And hence, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. That person who was spiritually blind, his aqidah was corrupt, he had no iman, he had kufr, shirk. Such a person was blind, not physically blind, spiritually blind. But those who are blind in this world, spiritually blind, they will also be blind in the hereafter. They will be most astray from the path. In the akhirah, they will be completely blind. Ya Allah, I could see in this world. Why you raise me today blind on the day of qiyamah? لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. So there on the day of qiyamah, he'll get physical blindness also. Just darkness everywhere. This does not mean that those without physical sight, person is blind naturally in this world. It doesn't refer to him that the day of qiyamah he won't be able to see. No. Rather it means that those who live their life on earth in ghaflat, heedlessness, utter rebellion, fighting, opposing haqq all the time, against Allah Ta'ala's commandments, they will be raised blind in the hereafter because they were blind to Allah Ta'ala's wishes. Quran says, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They turned the blind eye to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments. Allah Ta'ala will ignore them on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will not even look at them with a merciful glance. May Allah save us. Among other things, they cannot look upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This scene is further illustrated, which we mentioned now. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَلْ. When the person says, Ya Allah, why you raise me blind today? I could see, I had sight in the world. Allah will say, thus you did when our signs came unto you. Our ahkamat, our teachings of shariat, you disregarded them. So today also we will disregard you. We will disregard you. But the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will be their position in the day of Qiyamah? Where will they be? They will have mimbars, manabir, pulpits made of noor, light. In one hadith it is mentioned that even Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, despite their very high position, even on the day of Qiyamah, the highest position they will have, but they will also be desirous of such people. Oh, look at these people. Who are these people? Like how a person finishes his hifs, and we have the hifs khatam or a jalsa for him. There will be other huffaz also who completed, who had their jalsa, ulama also, and they desire, I wish I was this youngster finishing his Quran today, man. Okay, if this example doesn't appeal to us, we all married, alhamdulillah, most of us are married, but of course somebody else getting married, then everybody was, hey, you know, so this fellow is lucky, man. Not that we want to be in his place. He's very lucky, yeah? He's getting married today. Everybody congratulate him, shake his hands, make mu'anaka. Everybody will see, who's this groom? What's his name? What's the mahar like? You understood? Why the spotlight is on him. On the day of Qiyamah, these people were the lovers of Allah, who loved Allah and who called towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how a mashayikh do. They don't just keep the love of Allah ta'ala to themselves, they want to share it with others. And they have special members full of light. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. There's so much more, inshallah, Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. We'll continue. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. Inshallah Thursday we'll have our zikr program after Maghrib. This Sunday inshallah in our masjid after Maghrib Salat, Hazrat Mahabul Hamid Sahab will be coming inshallah. He's got a program from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's on the pamphlet. But Sunday program after Maghrib will be in our masjid inshallah, so we can pass the message on to others also. Coming for the same purpose of Islah. Hazrat Murana has come here many times. He's our Ustad. And he's making great effort throughout the world. So inshallah, let us also try and pass on the message. The masjid will be full inshallah, solely again, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can make amal on the advices that he will impart to us. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.